David uses his memory of God's goodness to him in the past in verses 1 to 10 of this psalm. And in verses 11 through to 17, he pleads for the Lord's help in the present. We know that this is a psalm of David, but we're not told when David penned this psalm. There is reference in the psalm that David had come to a time of affliction in which he had been delivered in answer to prayer. And some commentators place this psalm at the end of David's life, when David looks back on times of trial when the Lord had taken him out in answer to prayer. And it is a psalm that expresses the feelings of every believer. And in this final verse of the psalm, verse 17, I believe we see something very, very precious. And it's that verse that I want to consider this evening. And I have two main points. First of all, in this psalm, I want us to consider that David declares himself to be poor and needy. He says this. He says, "As for me, I am poor and needy." Now, I don't think David himself was particularly poor as far as this world's goods were concerned, he being a king. But there are many of the Lord's dear people, and they're poor as far as this world's goods are concerned. For example, if we go over there to the Epistle of James in chapter 2, and at verse 5, we read these words. James says, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom?" And if we were to go to the land of Moldova tonight, there are many of God's dear people who are poor as far as this world's goods are concerned. I say that, but Ardan has just returned from Moldova last Saturday. And I can tell you that they're very generous people. He celebrated his 22nd birthday, his 18th birthday right there. He must like, we're talking about birthdays tonight, so I thought I'd mention this, but he must like having his birthday in Moldova. I think they do better for him than we do for him. Elizabeth said to him on the way up from Cardiff last Saturday night, "Well, what happened during your birthday?" He says, "Well, I didn't tell anybody, but Maureen remembered it." So he says, "What happened?" Well, he says, "They threw me in the air 22 times. And I think there was something like 22 presents and 2 cakes and a meal." And I thought, well, you wouldn't have got that if you're home. We might have thrown them in the air 22 times and that would have been it. But it's a tremendous thing, isn't it? To meet with such people who are poor in, as far as this world is concerned, needy, but rich in the things of God. And that word poor is the word that really means oppressed, and the word needy is the word that means desiring. And it's really speaking of our weaknesses. And there are many ways in which we can feel that we are poor and needy. For example, when we go over into Psalm 136 and verse 22, the psalmist says that he remembers us in a low state because his mercy endureth forever. And I don't know about you, but I know when I come to the place of prayer, for example, in one example, I feel myself to be poor and needy. I find myself asking the Lord to help me in prayer. I don't know what to pray or how to pray. But the psalmist declares himself to be poor and needy. And then the second point, and it's a little longer. That David declares his confidence in the Lord. Look at these words. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. When David says, but the Lord, he's speaking about the sovereign Lord. The one who is high and lifted up. If we go over into the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 57 and at verse 15, we read these words. For thus saith the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Isn't that lovely? The one who is high and lifted up. But notice what David goes on to say. Yet the Lord takes thought of me. The word takes thought is a very precious word. Because the Hebrew phrase may either mean, may think concerning me. In other words, remember me, attend to me. Or will think for me. In other words, plan and provide for me. Now, if we go over into the prophecy of Jeremiah, and in chapter 29, and that lovely verse there in verse 11, we read these words. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholeness and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Isn't that lovely? In other words, the Lord is planning and providing for us. No matter what stage in life you're at, if you know the Lord tonight, the Lord is planning and providing for you. Young people who are heading to university and to college and to work for the first time, the Lord is planning and providing for you. Those of us who have the privilege of bringing up children, the Lord is planning and providing for us. And can I say tenderly and respectfully that those who are reaching their eventide of life, the Lord is planning and providing for you. Isn't that wonderful? Planning and providing for every detail of your life. Why? Because He's taking thought of you. His thoughts are towards you. If we go there to verse 5 in the Psalm, the psalmist is saying this. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them. Yet they are more than can be told. How wonderful is that? Listen to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The Lord's thoughts of us are a cheering subject of meditation, for they're ever kind and never cease. Isn't that lovely? I wonder how much time we actually spend upon meditating upon how the Lord thinks upon us. How does the Lord think upon us? Well, if we go there to verse 11, we see how the Lord thinks upon us. For the psalmist says, as for you, O Lord, You will not restrain or withhold, would be the word. Your mercy from me, your steadfast love, and your faithfulness. In other words, the Lord's thoughts are merciful thoughts. The Lord's thoughts are gracious thoughts. The Lord's thoughts are loving thoughts. The Lord's thoughts are faithful thoughts. Why? Because He's planning and providing for us. It really speaks of the care and the concern the Lord has for His people. In other words, the Lord is caring for His people. The Lord is attending to His people. You see, you may feel very unworthy of that care tonight. But He will still care for you. Why? Because He's paid the highest price for your salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. And He has set His love upon you. It really speaks of the Lord supplying our needs out of the riches of His grace. And His thoughts are to us. You see, the Lord has thoughts of love toward you and is causing all things to work together for your eternal and external and internal good. Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You see, the Lord has often thought upon the poor and needy persons. Look at Joseph. When he was in prison, his reputation was gone. And he was reproached and even punished unjustly. Yet we read that the Lord was with Joseph, and in due time He brought him out and set him on the throne of Egypt. Isn't that lovely? The Lord vindicated him because the Lord's thoughts were towards him. And as David has confidence in the Lord, he has confidence that the Lord would be his help. Look what he says there in the latter part of the verse. He says, "You are my help and my deliverer." Now connect that with the first verse, the first part of the psalm, and David is saying, "I am poor and needy. I am." Then he's saying, "You are my help and my deliverer. I am, you are. I am, you are." Have you got it? I am poor and needy. You are my help and my deliverer. One commentator put it like this: "My help you are, and therefore cannot fail to help me. My deliverer, and therefore must deliver me." And then finally, David says this: "Make no tarrying, O my God." Do not delay, oh my God. What is David saying in those verses? Is David getting impatient with the Lord? No. That appeal that David has made goes straight to the heart of God. You see, the Lord not only hears our heart's cry, but He understands our heart's cry. So what is David saying? He's saying this: I know that you will choose the right time and not neglect me. See, that brings us back to verse 1 of the Psalm, where David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. When David says, I waited patiently, the force of the Hebrew word is this: in waiting, I waited. In waiting, I waited. I wonder how good we are at waiting in our waiting. David saying that I know you will choose the right time and will not neglect me. Now, about 6 weeks ago, I was sitting in the doctor's waiting room, waiting to see, going to the doctor's surgery to see the doctor. And my appointment was at 10 o'clock, and it was coming on near 10:30. And I was thinking, well, they've forgotten about me. They've neglected me. It was one of the few times that it's happened. But the Lord hadn't neglected me. And so often we wonder, well, why doesn't something work out in our time? There are times when I'm going out through the door to a meeting and the phone rings and I'm held back 10 minutes and I get up the length of Welshpool and discover there's been a road traffic accident. The Lord hadn't neglected me. His hand was upon me. And you know, times we phone up maybe the mechanic and we want the car serviced, and he says, well, when would you like the car serviced? And I feel like saying to him, well, yesterday, because I'm not the most patient soul in Newtown. Just a wee word with my wife and she'll tell you that. Or you phone David Jones and you want the joinery job done, and he'll say to you, well, Paul, when would you like the job done? And you feel like we're saying, like, well, could you do it yesterday? And we live in a society of instant credit, instant food, and everybody's living in the fast lane of life. But here's the psalmist saying, in waiting, I waited. And he's reminding us in these final words that the Lord will choose the right time and not neglect us. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Let us pray. Our Father, we bow before you to thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is a comforting word, that your word brings strength to our souls. And we pray, Lord, that you indeed will be pleased to minister through your word to each of our hearts. For we ask it in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.